You know, last week, as I stated, we started this new sermon series on the three important questions. And the first question that we addressed was, why do people need Jesus? In summarization of that sermon, we know that people need Jesus because Jesus is an accurate description of God. We went on to discover that people need Jesus because they need a power greater than themselves. We also know that people need Jesus because they need to meet the very one who will meet them in the middle of their mess and love them through it. We also said that people need Jesus because we all need a do-over in this thing we call life. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is the Savior of the world who can provide all this. And friends, that is why people need Jesus. Now today we're going to look at our second question. Why do people need the church? Now you may not know this, brothers and sisters, but the United Methodist Church has an official statement about the church with a capital C. It reads like this. The Church of Jesus Christ exists in and for the world. Quote, unquote. Yet research from Barna Research, it's a group, it's a Christian polling group, concludes in a study that Americans are not only aware of their spiritual needs, but are dissatisfied with the church's attempts to meet those spiritual needs. The consensus from the study is mind-boggling because it says that not only are church attenders, but non-church attenders wrestle with why they need the church. So today I want you and I to open Scripture and look at a passage that I think will help us to see why, when I say we, I mean Christians, but I also mean humanity needs the church. So please join with me this morning as we read from Ephesians chapter 2. And it's just going to be from verses 19 through 22. Starting in verse 19, it says, "So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you and me into a place where God lives through the Spirit." It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds with, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Lord God, we come today and we ask a simple question that apparently is a question that so many wrestle with in life. And I pray today, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit and your word, that we can find answers about why people need the church, why we need the church, and why we need to be actively inviting people to be a part of your church. So Lord, make these black letters on white paper be more than just that. Let them be inspired within us as they were inspired when they were recorded to be your holy word. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now for me, friends, these verses, although concise, share with us touchstones of why we or humanity needs Christ, or needs the church, excuse me. And I only want to hit about five, or highlight about five of the reasons that I see from this passage of Scripture. The first reason people need the church is because the church, even with all of its human imperfections, is the continuing incarnation of Jesus in the world. He is the cornerstone, our Scripture said. And if we understand what that means, then we understand that Jesus has set the bar of what life, how we should live life. And he's charged us with doing what he did. Speaking on his behalf, being his hands, feet, heart, mind, and voice. I like the way one theologian sums it up when I studied for this sermon this week. He wrote this: Jesus did not create the church to create a Christian country club. Jesus did not create the church to allow followers of Jesus to sit down and be entertained. Jesus did not even create the church for us, that is, Christians. For just as Jesus did not live for himself, the church does not live for itself. End of quote. You know, in everything Christ encountered, grace was administered. Our job is to live in that grace and make it relative and to the lives of others. Now, the second reason why I believe people need the church is because the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so our scripture says. I mean, I'm not referencing some brick and mortar structure, you know. When we talk about the church, I'm referencing the truth that is reflected in Paul's writings as well as stated very clearly in Jesus' words when he says, "Where two or more are gathered in his name, I am there among you," he says. I hope we all can see that the church is about the fellowship, a community, a group of people from all walks of life who share one common ethos. Now, the third reason that people need the church is because Scripture commands us that we are to meet together, to hold one another accountable, and encourage each other. Our verses say that we join together so that we become a holy temple of the Lord. That's an NIV translation. Other verses, though, within the New Testament reveals to us that the church was always designed to be lived out in community. So the church is the place where people would come to be reproofed, rebuked, encouraged, edified, a place where they can have prayer and experience healing. All of that is to be done in community. And I'll say, friends, for those who wrestle with wanting to be a Lone Ranger Christian, I'll tell you, there's a great example of that in the New Testament. His name was Judas Iscariot. And look how well that turned out for him. Now, the fourth reason why people need the church is because Christians united can accomplish far more than they can when they are apart. You know, most of you who know me know I'm an old union electrician. And one of our old union rally cries was, "United we stand, divided we fall." And this truth applies to church. When the church is united in ministering to others, and what I mean by that is loving God with all of our heart, soul, body, and mind, and loving our neighbor as Jesus loves us, we are at our truest potential. Nowhere do we read of any New Testament examples of disciples going alone. Even when Christ sent the disciples out ahead of him to prepare for his ministry coming in and his preaching his message, he still sent them out at least in pairs of, in a pair of two. You know, friends, when people live their lives absent of the church and absent of Christ, they live in a perpetual state of hopelessness. And the reason that people need the church is because the church is truly the hope of the world. The fifth reason people need the church is it is a training ground for becoming and growing as a disciple of Christ. See, regardless if you were born and raised in the church or if you're one who came later in life to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ as a convert, it is the church. And when I say church, I mean worship, Bible study, fellowship, discipleship, and service that grows you and I, grows others in grace. There's a pastor by the name of Trevin Wax who is reported saying, "We do not go to church because of guilt. We are the church because of grace." I love that statement because it reminds me that not only is the church a place of hope, but it is supposed to be a place where people are able to find, feel, and function in the power of God's grace. Unfortunately, We all know the church has suffered what some would call a black eye due to negative images caused by church leaders and or church members. And it reminds me of an old sermon illustration about a church searching for a pastor. The story goes that one of the leaders was interested in finding out just what kind of preacher the church wanted. And so in order to do this, he composed a letter as if it had been received from a person who was a pastor looking for a job, and he shared it with his committee. And this is what it says. Let me read it to you. "Dear gentlemen, understanding that you need a preacher, I would like to apply for this position. I have many qualifications that I think you would appreciate. I've been blessed to preach with power and have some success as a writer. Some say that I'm a good organizer. I've been a leader in most places I have gone. Some folks, however, have some things against me. I am over 50 years of age, and I've never preached in one place for more than 3 years at a time. In some places, I have left town after my work caused riots and disturbances. I have to admit that I have been in jail 3 or 4 times, but not because of any wrongdoing. My health is not too good, though I still get a good deal done. I've had to work at my trade to help pay my way. The churches I have preached at have been in small churches, though located in several large cities. I've not gotten along too well with the religious leaders in different towns where I have preached, and I'm sure that they will not recommend me. In fact, some of them have threatened me, taken me to court, and even attacked me physically. I'm not too good at keeping records. I've been known to forget whom I have baptized. However, if you can use me, I shall do my best for you, even if I have to work to help with my support." And the story goes on to say that the leader read this letter to the committee and asked if they were interested in this applicant. And they replied that this person would never do for their church. They were not only uninterested in him, but they went on to say that this person was unhealthy, a troublemaker, he was contentious, he was an ex-jailbird, and they were insulted that this application had even been brought before them. But one of the committee members asked the leader, "What was the preacher's name?" And you know what his response was? "The Apostle Paul." I can assure you, friends, that this is not the design that Christ has for the church. The display of church, this type of display of church, has caused many to leave injured and hesitant to return. This display of church has also caused justification for others to never bother attending a church. But I will say this, if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, you need to know that church is not optional. Rather, church is a necessity for the disciple. It is a necessity because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, founded the church. Christ organized it, promised it would be built upon the prophets and the shoulders of the apostles, and he sent God's Spirit to empower it. And you see, friends, if it was that important to him, then it should be just that important for us. Now, as we already established last week, people need Jesus because Jesus is the answer to deep hurt and pain of people and the world. And because people need Jesus, they also need the church. Because Jesus has chosen the church to be the instrument that heals the world. Jesus has chosen the church to be his continuing presence on earth. And I want you to know, God does not have a plan B to transform the world. God has enlisted the church to be the physical manifestation of Jesus' love and hope. So why do people need the church? Because Jesus is made present on earth through the church. Why do people need the church? Because God has chosen the church to transform and heal the world. Why do people need the church? Because the church is the place where people find hope, experience forgiveness, and grow and grace. That's why we need the church. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.